Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
How many of you guys love the weather? How many of you guys like the fact the snow is melting? How many of you guys know it's supposed to snow 6 inches tomorrow? No, it's not. Okay. I felt like the air left the room there for a second. Hey, I want to welcome you again to True North Church, those that are here, those online. It's good to have you here. If you want to follow along with a message today, if you have the YouVersion on your phone, you can follow along with the notes right there. They're all there. But I want to talk today about the hope that comes because of Easter. And so, in fact, we're starting a series today called Hashtag Hope, Living a Life Unstuck. In the next 5 weeks, or four more weeks beyond today, we're going to start to continue this series on hope. And so I hope that you'll come back to hear about hope. Because I know this, there's some people out there in this world who are stuck. And they don't know that there's hope beyond being stuck. And so we're going to talk about just that very thought, that how do we get unstuck? And how do we get our life going if we've been on the hamster wheel of life for a while? And so I want to look at a theme verse this morning as we launch into today's message. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "And because God raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory, your faith and hope," say hope, "so your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God." Now, I've got up here a banker's box that's empty because that's like some of your bank accounts. But not your credit cards, right? Okay. And I got a cinder block. How many of you know I could put my life or my 200-pound body on a cinder block? Because I could put, this is solid, but if I put my 200-pound body on a banker's box, what's going to happen? There's nothing on the inside. And when we talk about this, because God raised Christ from the dead, we have faith and hope that can be placed confidently on God. So today I want to talk about the resurrection of Christ, because that is what gives us hope, friends. The reason we're here today is not so we could blow extra balloons up and wear blue shirts for all of our ministry team. We're here today because we believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. And I want to play a game here, because hope is necessary to life. I want to play a game. And it's called I Can't Live Without. Now, how long can I live without food? Now, some of you at second service are like, "Oh no, don't get me salivating now. You're going to talk for the next 2 hours, or it's going to feel like three. I don't know." Third service, they're going to look at that and go, "Oh man, I'm starving." And so, how long can you live without? You can live, they say, studies say, about 40 days without food. How many of you guys think, 40 days? I can't live like 6 hours without food. No, some of you can, trust me. No. How long can you live without water? They say you can live about 72 hours without water because most of your body's made up of water. How long can you live without Peeps? Now, how many of you are like me? Someone brought some candy and said, "Hey, give it to the military or other people." And so they brought candy over, and they brought a bunch of Peeps. And I thought, "Oh, you know, I'll try it again this year to see if they taste better than the past." And they don't. Those yellow, sugared, colored marshmallows don't even taste like a marshmallow, do they? They taste delicious. Okay, we're going to get some for you. All right, let's pray for this young man in the front. He needs healing. How many of you guys like Peeps? Raise your hand real high. Okay, like I don't want to offend some of you. Sorry, I eat them too. I'm just not, okay. You don't make a s'more with them because you melt them. It looks like plastic. Oh, no. Okay. I ate them this last week. I did. I broke it down. I realized you can live about 364 days, 23 hours, and 58 minutes without Peeps. And once you eat them, you can go another 364 days, 23 hours, and 58 minutes. How long can you live without your smartphone? Now, some of you are like, "I don't have a smartphone. I have a flip phone." We'll pray for you, too. Okay? But you know, how long? You know, some of you, not very long, because you've already updated Facebook, Twitter, checked your Instagram feed, and text messaged someone already. okay? If it was NFL season, I know what some of you do in the back row. Okay, they say, studies say 23 minutes without withdrawal symptoms for some of you. Okay, how long can you live without air? Let's take a deep breath. Never mind, don't, because then you'll breathe out your bad breath. Okay, so just don't do that. They say you can live about 8 minutes without air, but how long can you live without hope? Friends, I want to propose to you, you can't live without hope. If you don't have something to get up for in the morning, something to get your chin off your chest, something that gets you up. Friends, I want to present to you, you need hope to cope. Hope is the element that keeps your soul alive. Hope is difficult to sometimes understand. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope's essential to life. You don't need hope because you might die today. You need hope because you want to live tomorrow. You want a reason to get up in the morning. You need hope. See, some of you, it's been a tough year. Oil prices are down. The state's economy, the budget cuts, and all this stuff. Some of you, maybe you've lost the job, or you're in a job that's not quite as good, or maybe you're in a difficult marriage and you feel stuck. In a marriage or a dysfunctional relationship and you don't know how to get out. Or maybe your dreams have been crushed. Or maybe things just aren't working in life and you never thought it would look like this. You thought it would look better when you woke up in the morning. You thought you'd be happier when you woke up in the morning. And you're at a place where you don't think it's going to change because you're not full of hope. You're hopeless. You live life with less hope than you thought you could have. And so my question today is, where do you look for hope? Where do you look? Most pivotal event in human history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at the hope we find in Easter today. Hope in the resurrection. The main reason we feel hopeless is because we put our hope in the wrong things. If I put my hope in something that's empty, then the empty promises of this box have nothing for me to build my life upon. But if I find something solid that I can stand upon, that's called hope. This is wishful thinking. There's a difference between optimism and hope. Optimism is thinking you can find an extra seat on United Airlines. I thought I'd never go there. Never mind. I'll be nice today. You did hear Alaska Airlines said we don't always beat our customers' prices, but we don't beat our customers. Sorry. Let's go back here. All right. Hope. Hope is not optimism. Hope is not positive thinking. Optimism, friends, optimism is psychological. Hope is theological. Hope is when you trust in God. Optimism is when you trust in yourself. Hope is when you trust in God and you say, God, what can you do? Optimism says, what can I do? And friends, let me tell you something. Optimism is nothing but an empty box because at the end of the day, nothing you put your trust in can hold you unless it's solid, like the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I want to look at hope. In Psalms 39, verse 7, David said, "And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you." David realized, and at this time he's running from enemies, he's hiding in caves. They're going to try to assassinate him. And he realizes, you know something, I don't put my hope in anything, but I put my hope, what, in God. My question is, what do you put hope in? You put hope into a job? Have you put hope into a marriage or a relationship to fix it all? I hope not all your hope is in the White House or your house. It better be in his house. Hope in education, hope in a situation. If I only had this person, the intimacy or this relationship or sex, all that. Friends, all of that will leave you empty at the end of the day. The only thing you can build your life upon that stands forever is the hope of Jesus Christ. You see, you have to put your hope in something that's solid. I want to give you a definition for this series where I'll be going through the next 5 weeks on hope. Hope is the trust and confidence that God will see me through every situation I face. Hope is the trust and confidence that God will see me through every situation I face. That's hope. That's why Paul said in Hebrews, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. God can be trusted to keep his promise. We're going to talk about three promises of hope this morning. But I want to just encourage you to think. You took the first step to come today, some of you. We start the series on hope. Next week, we're going to talk about what happens when you run out of hope. What happens when you run out of money, when you run out of relationships, you run out of options, you're trying to raise your family, and it hasn't worked out the way you are, and there's a blended family situation, you're running out of. What do you do when you run out of hope? We're going to talk about that next week. Come back. Week after that, we're going to talk about when you're stuck and when you can't see your way. It's foggy. You have major decisions to make, but you don't know what to make because you don't trust your last decision. We talk about what happens when you feel like you're sinking, the pressures of life, and you're overwhelmed, and hope is slipping away. And then last, we talk about what happens when you're stuck and you feel like a failure. Friends, failure is never final. Failure is not a destination, it's an opinion. So we're going to talk about hope. But today, we're going to talk about three different people in the Easter story and three different nuances of this of hope, three promises that hope offer us. And we can see this with three individuals in the New Testament. Number one, the first promise we learn of hope is it's not too late for a miracle. How many of you guys need a miracle today? Maybe some of you just need something to grab a hold of. Let me just tell you, if you're at the end of your rope today, tie a knot and hold on. Because he's got the other end. And so it's not too late for a miracle. Easter says it's never too late. You could be dead on a cross, buried in a tomb, but it's not too late when God's involved. We talk about Mary Magdalene for a moment. Mary was a woman who had multiple relationships. Dead-end relationships, probably dysfunctional relationships, probably a little bit of codependency going on. I don't know. But all I know is she went from relationship to relationship to relationship, looking for love in all the wrong places. I don't know if you know anyone like that, or maybe you're here and you're tired of L-O-V-E being spelled U-S-E-D. You're tired of being used for the sake of love. You're tired of waking up going, I still feel empty. In fact, maybe I'm emptier today than I was yesterday, and it didn't work again. That's Mary. She was left wide open to be used and abused, and but one day everything changed because she met Jesus. She met someone that respected her for her, someone she didn't bypass the boundaries, someone she loved, not because of what she could do for Jesus, but rather what Jesus could do for her. Jesus saved her from her past, but not just that, he liberated her from her past. The demons she faced in her past, in her mind, the mindland security she dealt with, Jesus set her free of that. We see her at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother Mary on the day he was crucified. And 2 days after crucifixion, she was taking burial spices to the tomb to wrap Jesus in. And we're going to pick up with where the story begins here as she is walking to the tomb with the burial spices. And it says Mary was standing, John chapter 20, outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they've taken away my Lord. She replied, "And I don't know where they've put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. I want to stop for a second here. It was Jesus, but she didn't what? Recognize him. How many of you have been in a dark place in your life and Jesus is right next to you, but you can't even see him because you can't recognize him from your pain. You can't recognize him from your loss. You can't recognize him from the difficult situation. Friends, I want to propose to you that what happened to Mary here happens to all of us. Jesus looks, he's right there, and he says, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you put him, and I will go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher." Mary Magdalene found the other disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." How does she go from not recognizing him to stopping in her tracks, turning and going, "Teacher"? All he said was one thing: her name. He knew her name. Now, I don't know about you. If my wife calls me, she calls me sexy. No, she calls me, "Hi, babe." And so when she says, "Hi, babe," she doesn't say a whole lot. I know it's my wife, and I stop because I recognize that voice. Now, if some of you called me and said, "Hi, babe," or "sexy," I would slap you. Don't try it, please. That'd be awkward. There's something that happens when you recognize the voice, but Mary recognized her voice. Why? Because there was an intimate and a depth of relationship there. And friend, I want to propose to you, Jesus knew Mary's name. He knew what she was going through. He knew, not just did he know what she was going through, he could do something about what she was going through. And friends, let me tell you something. Jesus knows your name. He knows what you're walking through. He knows the challenges you have. And may I propose to you, the hope of Easter is it's not too late for a miracle. Jesus is in the house. Jesus can show up. He stood up out of death, hell, and the grave. Why? It's not too late for a miracle. Later on in John says, why do you look for the living among the dead? Easter is the one you put your hope in, someone who knows everything about you, and he still loves you. If it's optimism, I'll put my hope in this person. I'll tell you right now, the next relationship, the next drug, the next whatever, you put your hope in something that's empty when you put your hope in something other than Christ. It doesn't last. There's no substance to it. And Jesus looks at Mary. He knows her name, and he says two questions that are powerful. He says, "Why are you crying?" And he asks, "What are you looking for?" May I present to you, friends, I think that's the same question he'd ask you today, no matter where you are in life. It's number one, why are you crying? In other words, hey, what's causing the pain you have? He's wanting her to be honest with herself. Why are you crying, Mary? Mary lost something that she'd never had before. Someone that believed in her without her having to give anything away. I don't know what your story is, but I love what Jesus says in Luke. What is impossible from a human perspective is possible with God. The word impossible is not in God's vocabulary. If you're here today and you need God to step into an impossible marriage, into an impossible relationship, into a possible debt, into a dream, you're stuck. God has possibility to intersect your difficulty, and there's a miracle waiting to happen. See, everything is possible with God. That's why he wants to know, why are you crying? He knows why you're crying. He wants you to admit why you're crying. He wants you to admit what you're crying out for, what you're looking for. What are you looking for, he said. In other words, what do you think's going to make you happy, Mary? I'm dead. I was dead, but God's a God of possibility. I'm no longer dead. Mary, what are you looking for? I want to present to you, if the answer to that question doesn't include Jesus, then I want to submit to you, it won't work. If what you're looking for doesn't have Jesus at the center of it, it doesn't matter how much you grab a hold of that stuff, it's going to fall through your hands like sand in an hourglass. Jesus looks at her and says, I know who you are, and I know what you're going through, and I understand, and I can help. The first promise of hope is that it's never too late for a miracle. I don't know what you're looking for. Let me tell you something. What makes you cry? What keeps you awake at night? But let me tell you something. There's someone named Jesus who can step into your life and work a miracle. The second promise of Easter, the promise of hope, is number two. It's not too late for you to start believing. It's not too late for you to start believing. It's a promise of Easter. It's never too late to believe. When Jesus was crucified and buried, he had told his disciples, hey, guys, I'm going to die. The sheep's going to get struck and the shepherd's going to scatter. And he calls them together in the upper room and he breaks the bread and they drink from the cup. And he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you know the whole story of communion. And they didn't understand he was going to die. So he dies. They're devastated. The rug's been pulled out of the proverbial traction of life. And there's a man named Thomas, one of them. And Thomas the Doubter, the Bible calls him. How would you like to have that nickname, Thomas the Doubter? My last name, Zweifel in Swiss, means onion or doubt. So I don't know which one of those is better. Onion breath or doubter, right? But Thomas the Doubter, but I like Thomas. He was a thinker. He wanted to know the truth. He heard that Jesus rose from the dead, but he said, I want to put my fingers in his side. I want to touch his hands. I want to know the real thing. There's some of you in here that are maybe like Thomas, and you're thinking and going, is God real? You want to touch the truth. You're tired of things slipping out that you thought was what you could build your life upon. But here's the story. He wanted some proof. Hours after the resurrection, it says, that evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish people. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see. And he showed them his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. But one of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we've seen God, we see the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound on his side. 8 days later, disciples were together again, and this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Let me just pause here for a second. How many want to know you can feel like you're stuck in a situation, locked in a room, but Jesus can get into some room no one else could ever get into. No one else could ever slip his presence into to be where you're at. And so they're in a locked room, and Jesus was standing among them, and it says this, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, how dare you quit not believing? No, he didn't say that, does he? He says, put your finger here. See my hands. Put your hand into the wound on my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. my Lord and my God. He stopped and said, my Lord and my God. Why? Because truth showed up. Friends, some of you have been looking for truth. And I love what Jesus responded to him. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway. I want to point something out. Jesus didn't condemn Thomas for his doubt. He didn't get mad at him. Doubt is a good thing if it drives us to look for truth. Doubt is a good thing. Now, doubt and arrogance and pride are two separate things. Doubt drives us to look for truth. Pride says, I can find it on my own. I don't have to look very. I'm the source of truth. You ever found those people? I'm just taking a break. I got to find myself. Let me just tell you something. If you're looking for purpose by finding yourself, you can't find yourself to find truth. You have to find Jesus to find truth. The created will never find purpose by looking at the created. You have to talk to the Creator about where and why you're designed. Now, I love this thought that Thomas was a little late. He was 8 days after the resurrection. But let me just say, it's not too late. It's never too late to believe. It's never too late to have hope show up for you. Some of you in here might think, Mark, you don't understand my life. You don't know what I've done. You're right. But I know God, and I know this about God. He knows everything about you, and he still loves you. That's what I know about God. It's not too late to believe. I stopped the pink moped down by the PFD offices last week. A couple guys were standing there, I said, hey, you should come to church. He goes, oh, no. If I came to church, the doors would fall in on me. Good news for some of you. They haven't fallen in yet. It proves that, see, God's not mad at you. God's mad about you. And he's not scared of answering questions. He's scared of people who don't look to the right place for answers. So the Lord isn't slow like the Bible. See, sometimes we think, well, you know, the Lord is waiting for some. Sometimes we think we're waiting for God, but we're not waiting for God. God's waiting for us. The Bible says in 2 Peter, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise to return as some think he is. No, he's being patient for your sake. He's not want anyone to perish, so he's given more time for everyone to come to him. In other words, if there's questions, he's pausing because he's given you time to find the answers because he doesn't want, the Bible says, any to perish but all to come to repentance. God's slow in coming. Don't think you're waiting on God. God's waiting on you. In fact, I want to throw an idea out there real quick. Did you realize that there was a day you didn't exist? But the day you were conceived, you became an eternal being. You might say, what do you mean, Mark? See, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says life is like a vapor and a mist. It's here one day and gone the next. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Friends, look at me. You're eternal beings. There was a day you did not exist, but from the moment you were conceived, there'll never be a day now you don't exist. The big question is, where will you spend eternity? With God or separated from God? It's not, is God real? God's real. The question is, are you going to build your life upon the God who's real or upon something that will not hold your life up at the end? It's a box. I believe in a lot of empty promises, a lot of empty things. God said to Thomas, you think it's great that you believed in me because you saw me? What about those who believe in me and never saw me? It's never too late to believe. It's the hope of Easter. The first promise of hope is it's never too late for a miracle. The second promise of hope is never too late to believe. And the third promise of hope, it's not too late for a fresh start. Peter is one of the 12 disciples. And one day Jesus looks and tells his disciples, when you strike the shepherd, meaning me, the sheep will scatter. I said that a moment ago. But Peter says, everyone else might fall away on account of you, but not me. Everybody, but not me, Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, that's not a good thing when Jesus calls you Satan. I called my brother Lucifer once. He didn't like that. It's not the same way when Jesus calls you Lucifer, though, you know. But in the story, Jesus says, you know, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And sure enough, by the time the next sunrise came, Jesus is warming himself by the fire with some other people. And someone came over and said, you were with the Christ. I saw you. He goes, no, I wasn't. Then a 14, 15-year-old teenage girl comes out, a servant girl, and says, you were with Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible says he cusses and said, no, I wasn't. I don't know what you're talking about. And the third time he denies Christ and the rooster crows. And how many of you know he probably felt like a failure that day? Probably feels like he denied himself. Probably feels like he broke some promise. How many of you know the self-esteem comes when you make a promise to yourself and keep it? The reason why some of you have no confidence is you says, I'm going to stop this, and you don't stop it. I'm not going to do this again, and you go out and do it. And so you don't trust yourself. There's no faith and confidence in yourself. Why? Because when you put faith and trust in yourself, that's called optimism. Hope is when you put faith and trust in something that never changes. His name is God. So here's Peter. He's denied Christ. It's the biggest failure of his life. In fact, he's sitting there by the fire, and the Bible says he looks over, and he sees a bruised and beaten Jesus, and they connect their eyes, and Peter got up and ran. Why? Because he felt like he'd failed. But Easter tells us and shows us that it's never too late for a fresh start, because when Jesus was buried and rose again, we see this. We see that he shows up to Peter, and after he failed big time in front of a lot of people, Jesus shows up, and I love what it says in John 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This was the third time, say third. The third time he appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And after breakfast, he asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you, then feed my lambs, he told him. Then Jesus repeated the question. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then he says again, third time, do you love me? He goes, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then Jesus says, the Bible says Peter was grieved that Jesus kept asking the question. Let me tell you something. When God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He asks a question because it's for our benefit, not his benefit. He wanted Peter to realize that his mistakes were in the past, and he can have a brand new, fresh start. Yeah, I know you denied me three times. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. What was he trying to do? He's trying to say, Peter, get your chin off the chest. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad about you. And I can forgive you. That's why I went to the cross. And I can give you a brand new start. First hope of Easter is there's a miracle waiting. The second hope of Easter is, guess what? It's never too late to believe. And the third hope of Easter is, guess what? It's never too late for a fresh start. I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. I know that some of us in here have a relationship with Jesus and some of us don't. And if the expiration date on the milk carton of your life today was to be called up, in other words, you were to go home and for whatever reason, God chose that this is the last day for you to live. And we know the Bible says life is like a vapor. It's like a gas. It's here one moment, gone the next, like a blade of grass. It can wither and die in a day. The Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. So my question for you is this. Maybe you're here today and you've put your hope in boxes, not on cement blocks. You've put your hope in optimism and things that can't carry you through difficulties. But today I want to ask you, are you willing to put your life Say, God, I believe that you're the hope of the world. That you're the one that can forgive me of my sins. And you're not mad at me. You're mad about me. And you'll help me have a fresh start. Maybe you're here and need a miracle today. You need to believe today. It's not too late to believe. You know, if you died today, do you know for sure where you'd spend eternity? The Bible says it's as easy as ABC. A, admit. Admit you've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned. The first step is admitting you've sinned and you need God to step in and forgive you. B, believe. For God so, many of you know this you learned it in vacation Bible school one time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die for us so that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. God assumes everyone in here is perishing without a believing relationship with him. A, admit. B, believe. And C, confess. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. That's a hope you can build your life upon and stand upon. But the question today is this. Maybe you're here today, you've never begun a relationship with Jesus. I want to pray with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place? You're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to ask you in a moment to raise your hand when I get to the number three. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do anything weird. I just want to know who I'm praying with today. I'm going to count to three in a moment. And when I say three, if you lift your hand and wave at me and say, Pastor, I want to pray a prayer with you in a moment. I want to know who I'm praying with. One, two, if you're a Christ follower, would you begin to pray? There may be people in the place of decision right now. They're looking for hope. You're looking for a miracle. You think it's too late. Or it's too late to believe. It's never too late to believe. Never too late for a fresh start. You're here today. You say, Pastor, I need a fresh start. I need God to come in. I feel like I'm a failure in so many ways, but I want God to forgive me today. I want the hope you talked about today. I've built my life upon boxes and not bricks. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. I'm going to say three in a moment. I want you to lift your hand up real quick. Whether it's the balcony or below the balcony, three. Lift your hand and wave at me and say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. That's me. Wave at me. Wow, there's hands all over. Anyone in the balcony right now, wave at me real quick. Anyone down below the balcony, wave your hand real quick again. Wow, there's tons of hands. Hands all over. Would you stand with me all across this place this morning? And I want to pray with you this morning. Number one, I want to say thank you for raising your hands. Some of you maybe didn't feel like you could raise your hand. I'm not asking you to become a member of this church. I'm asking you to become someone who says, God, I want to follow you the rest of my life. So what we're going to do, we're going to sing a song in a moment after we pray. And while we sing this song, I want you to take your phone out. If you prayed that prayer, whether you raised your hand or not, and I want you to text that phone number. Just text the word prayer. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that when we become a Christ follower, we pray that prayer, the old is gone, the new has come. And we got five small videos that we call the brand new you. Talk about the prayer you prayed today. Tomorrow we'll send you a text message with a video that talks about what does it look like to pray. The next day is how to read your Bible. Why is water baptism important? Why is a life? We kind of walked through 3 minutes, a short video of me just talking about this prayer you prayed. So I'm going to pray with you right now. And I'm going to ask you to join me. Many of you have prayed this prayer before, but let's pray it out loud. Would you bow your heads? Dear Jesus, today I invite you to be my Savior. You died on the cross for me. Help me live for you. Lord, please forgive me for my sins. I admit I've sinned. But I believe that your death on the cross purchases my forgiveness. And I confess I need you. So Lord, help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you gave your life to Jesus, rededicate your life to the Lord, while we sing this song, text prayer to that number And we're going to text you back the next several days, a short little video that talks about, let's sing the song together. But please take your phone out this time and let us know you prayed. We want to be able to pray with you. I'm going to pray prayer dismissal in a moment. But again, if you prayed that prayer, please text us. Please let us know. If you walk home and you want to think about it, on the back of the bulletin is the phone number. If you want to pray that prayer on your own and let us know, it gives us a chance to follow through and say, hey, listen, how you doing? If you prayed that prayer for the first time or before and you want to be water baptized, just text baptism, the same phone number, and we'll sign you up for water baptism. We'd love to have you be a part of that next Sunday afternoon. I'm going to close in prayer. Again, thanks for coming today. This Wednesday night, youth ministry right here. I'll be speaking to the teenagers. Our campus pastor, Nanana, will be speaking to the adults. And we've got life groups for kids downstairs. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We're so thankful for the opportunity that we have hope in you. God, we don't have to dope it up, grope it up, mope it up. We can hope it up in you. We're thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a guest, thanks for coming. Pick up the free gift right as you leave today. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing to do about it. Have a great week.